This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Late last night, a federal judge temporarily blocked the Trump administration from deploying any National Guard units to Oregon. That move coming after she at first blocked Oregon National Guard troops to go to Portland, and then the Trump administration sent troops from California and Texas there anyway. ABC's Jim Ryan has the Texas governor's reaction.
It wouldn't be the first time that Governor Greg Abbott has deployed the Texas National Guard for non-traditional duty. He sent 5,500 troops to the sites of protests against immigration raids and deportations, but within state borders. Now Abbott says he fully supports President Trump's deployment of the Texas National Guard to, quote, ensure safety for federal officials in Illinois.
Immigration agents clashing with protesters in Chicago outside an ICE detention center. Israel and Hamas negotiators sitting down today for ceasefire talks in Egypt. The government shutdown now entering week number two. No meaningful talks are scheduled on ending it. This is ABC News.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. There's a change in the way you get change at Quick Trip. With more, here's Civic Media's Connie Fillman.
No more pennies at Quick Trip. The company just announced they're going penniless. Cash transactions will now be rounded down to the nearest 5 cents. So if you're paying with cash, you could actually save a couple cents. You'd pay a buck, for example, if your total is $1.04. Credit card and digital transactions, though, will stay the same. In a statement, the company says they made the move because their penny supplies are exhausted and they haven't gotten enough guidance from the U.S. Department of Treasury after the decision to stop minting new pennies. According to its website, Quick Trip serves almost 12 million people every week. It has stores across Wisconsin, Minnesota, northern Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, and South Dakota.
The city of La Crosse is holding public information and engagement sessions for its city administrator working group. A proposed ordinance to add the position of city administrator to the city of La Crosse will be decided upon by the La Crosse Common Council in February. The information sessions are being held on October 6th, October 8th, and October 14th. The proposed ordinance would add a city administrator, which would take on some of the responsibilities of the mayor's office. State sales tax on utility bills are being eliminated for the next 2 years. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
The elimination of the 5% sales tax on residential utility bills is projected to save Wisconsin households more than $178 million over the next 2 years. No action is needed from residents to qualify for this change. Sales tax is being automatically removed from all household energy bills due to this bipartisan exemption included in the 2025-27 state budget.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Game two is tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs in the NLDS. Milwaukee winning game one, 9-3 on Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Well, I mean, we're down 1-0. Nothing else changes besides that. It's 1-0. I don't think, I'm not sure we'd manage the game differently on Monday, up 1-0, down 1-0. So it I'm not sure it does. We made it harder for ourselves. We got to win 3 out of 4 now. They got to win 2 out of 4. That's it.
The Cubs will start Shota Imanaga. Brewers manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Murph, what are your pitching plans?
Yeah, Ashby's going to start. I don't know if Priester will be next. I really don't.
NFL, the Packers back at work. After having a bye week, they host the Cincinnati Bengals Sunday at 3:25. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy and much cooler today with scattered showers from time to time. Maybe a rumble of thunder as well. A high of only 63. A lingering shower possible this evening. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and crisp with a low of 43. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday. A high of 65. Right now, 53 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. It's exactly what gerrymandering is, but in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes, and they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable words.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air. Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Monday, so Sholly Pittman, Civic Media News Director, will be here after the 9:30 news. Going to be talking about some of the things that happened over the weekend and that are happening in Wisconsin. Particularly, we're going to talk today about ice in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And some of the reactions to that and some of the things that have happened here. Again, that you may have missed because there is so much going on in the world. Sholly Pittman will be here after the 9:30 news. In hour number two, we're going to talk to journalist Jackie Lydon and also author Kathy Giorgio. They were both on many months ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about book bans. Mm-hmm. And Kathy Giorgio is a graduate of Waukesha High School.
North. Yep.
And she was on their alumni star of fame.
She's on their wall of stars.
Because of a book that she wrote. And then they banned her book.
Yep.
So there is an event on Wednesday night in Waukesha about book bans. Wisconsin, tragically, according to an article that I have from them, is the state with the second highest number of banned books.
And I think if you asked a lot of people and you said, name the top five, and if they named five, I bet you they would all go Southern. They would not put Wisconsin in
up there. Yeah.
Wisconsin. I would say this. Wisconsinites wouldn't, because I don't think Wisconsinites know.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why we're going to highlight that coming up in hour number two. Also then in the second hour of the show, as we always do for the last half an hour, we talk a little audio sorbet is what we call it, where we lighten things up.
Oh, I need it today.
Get away from the news and just take a breath. And we were talking off the air. We have a whole bunch of people here now.
There's a lot of people here.
There's a lot of folks in this building now.
Feeling my old man, like, get off my lawn.
Exactly.
The rock and roll music's too loud.
So we were just talking about alarms and how do you wake up in the morning? And not everyone uses an alarm. Some people live by an alarm.
Mm-hmm.
Snooze alarm. I lived by the snooze alarm. I would hit that thing at least three times.
Your history with the alarm clock with regard to this industry, waking up at ungodly hours, I don't... Like right now, if I sleep until 7 o'clock, I'm like, well, that wasn't bad. But having to get up at like 2:30,
yeah,
that's not fair.
But I dated a guy. This is obviously years before I got married, but I dated someone who never set an alarm.
Yeah,
he said, I just, before I go to sleep at night, I think about the time I have to wake up. I know, and I do, and I'm like, I would be late forever, or I would never sleep.
Yeah.
If I didn't have an alarm clock, I would not trust myself to wake up on time. So we're going to talk about how do you alarm
today for audio sorbet. If you can't stick around until the end of the show, you can always text us now.
Yeah, please do
so. At 855-752-4842. And we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Can You Dig It edition. Stay tuned for that. It's a good
Last
one.
Last week it was Sakatumi. This week is Can You Dig It?
We're kind of going back to the 60s. Little bit. So that's coming up at the very end of the show. By the way, thanks to everyone who took part in our multi-state text to win Go for the Green and Gold contest. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. Among some of our daily winners, we had Dave in Kenosha, who was listening on WRJN, Ruth from Chetek, listening to WCFW, and Angie from Hammond, who is listening to WCSM. We are in the process of contacting the grand prize winner. We need to talk to them and get a couple things straight, and then we can tell you who the big winner was with that grand prize. But again, thank you to everyone who took part. It was lovely seeing all the different cities where you live and where our listeners are. And we learn stuff all the time.
Absolutely. We found out about, once again, all these wonderful little towns and villages and hamlets. I don't know if they're actually hamlets. I just like saying that.
We're going to call them there hamlets. That's what we're going to do. Yeah. But if you do not have the Civic Media app yet, and that's the only way to enter our text to win contest, do it now.
Yeah.
It is completely free.
Yeah.
And we will be having more of these text to win contests. So just go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, and then download the Civic Media app. You'll be ready to go for the next contest. You can also listen to all of our stations across the network. We have a whole bunch of music stations if you want to check out music.
Yeah.
So, and you can take us with you wherever you are.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Absolutely. So that's that, I guess. I wanted to start off with this. Of course, we're in day six now of the government shutdown.
Yeah.
Glenn Grothman.
Who?
Wisconsin's own farm breakfast fan.
Ah, the pancake breakfast cake. He was pancake pocketing before Pat Murphy ever was.
Long before it was cool.
But he was like, is that guy stealing pancakes?
This is from the Wisconsin Public Radio. The headline reads, Wisconsin GOP Representative Glenn Grothman lay off 100,000 to 200,000 federal workers. The Eastern Wisconsin representative says regardless of the government shutdown, the federal workforce is too large.
Yeah. Of course.
Glenn says, regardless of the shutdown, the federal workforce should be cut to reduce spending. Quote, a lot of these people are not working very hard at all. To keep hiring people, many with over six-figure salaries, when they aren't working that hard, that's just irresponsible. Unquote.
Yeah.
What does Glenn Grothman make?
$174,000 a year plus his per diem plus health insurance. He makes a nice amount of money.
Like a pretty good living.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
we pay for it.
And then, because he's off right now, right? Because Mike Johnson sent all the House members home.
Oh yeah, they're shut down. They're off. They're making sure they can't do things like get the government open. They make sure they can't like release the Epstein files. They're just getting a nice relax. It'll probably be done for the rest of the year, honestly. But think about it. It's October. Why even go back at this point?
Well, and the Republicans refuse to negotiate.
Yeah.
And have through this whole process. Mm-hmm. Just an important reminder there. Yes, Glenn says, quote, well, we have too many people working in the government right now. Let's say in the Department of Defense itself, we have over 700,000 employees who are not uniformed, people sitting in cubicles on a computer. There is a lot of anecdotal evidence out there that these people aren't working that hard. So I think whether or not there's a shutdown is irrelevant. We should not be hiring people who are unnecessary.
Anecdotal evidence, which is just a fancy way of saying I've heard from people.
I looked it up. Many people are saying that these people aren't working hard. Mm-hmm. There has been no statistical study. They're looking at this.
No.
It's just some guy who works in this department called me and complained and said the person sitting next to them at their desk isn't working hard.
I mean, as far as I know, from what I've seen as far as pictures go and lack of stories and lack of legislation, Glenn Grothman isn't working that hard, if you ask me. Why don't we fire him? Because if we fire him, we get $174,000 back. We'll make sure whoever gets in after him has far less staff, so that way people in his district are far less serviced. It would just make it easier. Why don't we get rid of some of these non-working congressmen and senators? If they're not working, they're government employees.
They are government employees, and they're our employees.
They are our employees. And Jane, like, what I see from his social media presence, he's not doing a lot either. So I have anecdotal evidence via social media that Glenn Grothman isn't doing his job. Therefore, I think he should be fired as well. See how that logic works, Glenn. Just because someone tells you something or you feel it, it's inherent, it's in your gut.
Mike Johnson.
Well, you know, my gut also told me to eat ice cream last night at 5:30, and now I'm paying the price. Your gut's not always right. People sometimes lie.
855-752-4842, Wisconsin's own Republican Representative Glenn Grothman says, yep, good, fire a whole bunch of people from the federal government. People are telling me they're not working very hard. 855-752-4842. Join us like Mike from Oshkosh, texting in, listening on WISS. What has Glenn done for our district since he's been a congressman?
Yeah.
How hard is he working for us? I would love to know any legislation that Glenn has penned that has actually gotten anywhere and brought something home to his constituency.
I would like to know if there's any major legislation that he has authored, been the lead author, led through the process, not just thrown his name on as well. It's really just... They get to just say these things now, and people just agree with them because they've always thought that the federal government was too bloated. They always thought people in the federal government were lazy.
But it's them who are lazy.
Yeah.
It's that, not me and not my department and not my staffers. Mm-mm. It's that person isn't doing it.
Yeah.
And Calvin, you make a really good, interesting point that he signaled focused on the Department of Defense, which... Nobody touches.
No.
The Department of Defense hasn't been able to pass an audit in decades.
Yeah.
And yet we still keep writing them blank checks.
Yep.
And nobody blinks an eye on either side.
Well, no, because post 9/11 to not even criticize, but even say like, well, let's look at the Department of Defense's budget and what they know. Do you not want freedom wrapped in safety, wrapped in freedom? I mean, it was always just you do not even question what the DOD gets.
Ever.
And now he's saying this.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise.
I thought they were against defunding the police. Yeah.
I know.
So
I really did not expect him to zero in on the Department of Defense.
But the other side of the argument is that Glenn Grothman isn't smart. I'm sorry. He's just, if you've ever listened to him speak, he doesn't know anything on the issues. Like he just said, anecdotal evidence. That's not a study. That's not backed up with any sort of research. It's just you hearing stuff from people down the hallway. And if you look at the picture on the article that I've put in the show notes, it's a perfect picture of Glenn Grothman. It does not show a man who really is concerned about his district. He just loves the free pancakes.
855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha. We don't have a whole lot of time, Richard, but thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
This is a scheme, you know, you complain about everybody else while you're doing nothing, and then you stop everything.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's a stone wall.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. Thank you for listening.
Tim on the live stream says that Glenn Grothman has authored five pieces of legislation, four of which were to name post offices in the district. He is absolutely useless. All of his Facebook posts are at free food events. And it's true.
If you want to contact Glenn, how would I do that?
You're going to go to myvote.wi.gov. You're going to go and put your information in there. Actually, I would say you can go to myvote.wi.gov, but what you can do also is just type in, like I'm doing right now, into the Google machines, Glenn Grothman office phone number, and it's going to come up because that number is for us, the people, because we are the ones who actually employ him. 920-907-0624. Call him and let him know what you feel about cutting hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Well, and what a great job he's been doing for that $174,000 a year. When we return, Smiley Kevin Hassett has news for our farmers. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, Doc, nice office. Quick question. If you had to choose, would you give yourself a root canal or run payroll?
Run payroll, no question.
Seriously? Have you run payroll before?
Paying my team with Gusto couldn't be easier. Gusto gives me unlimited payroll runs, next day direct deposits, and automatically files my taxes. Saves me time.
Wow, that's nice.
Over here, Doc. Can I run payroll too?
Choose payroll without the pain. Visit gusto.com/radio to sign up for free.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. One game down.
Yep.
Couple more to go.
Not going to worry about any of those other ones right
now. I'm glad. We have baseball tonight, game two, NLDS Cubs at the Brewers. Our broadcast starts at 7:30. You cannot listen on the stream. You have to listen on terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. Catch it on WRCE in Richland Center, on WCQM in Park Falls, on WBZH in Hayward and here in Racine and Kenosha, on WRJN. Brewers hosting the Cubbies. Our broadcast starts tonight at 7:30, pitch goes out, I think, about 8 o'clock. It's going to be a late game, folks.
Yeah, and it's in Milwaukee, too. Like, you'd think that it would be, like, maybe an hour earlier, but it's...
it's going to be late. And expect traffic, too, especially if you're coming up on 94. 94 is going to be busy. Just keep that in mind and go, crew. Right before the break, we were talking about Wisconsin's own Republican Representative Glenn Grothman checking in on how, yeah, we should fire 100,000, 200,000 federal workers because people are telling me they don't work very hard. And just one more comment. couple more comments I wanted to get in from listeners on the live stream. Debbie says, the irony of having an all-demanded military meeting, spending millions of dollars to insult our highest ranks. That was last week when Pete Hegseth called of all our generals. So yeah. We could tell them they were ugly and fat.
No fatties, no bearded guys.
Okay, good to know.
Thanks, Cousin Debbie.
And Tim Jacobson says he didn't care about union workers at Oshkosh when the postal truck contract got moved to South Carolina. Yeah, Glenn doesn't. How much does Glenn work on behalf of Wisconsinites? Doesn't. And I'd love to show me the evidence.
I mean, if you want to count it in going to pancake breakfasts and things
I
like that.
I don't know that that counts. Brief, while we have time, before we get to the bottom of the hour news, I wanted to talk a little bit more about tariffs. Mm-hmm. Darren Von Ruden is going to be joining us this week.
Correct. Wednesday.
Wednesday. We had a little snafu last week. But this is not going away, this issue with our soybean farmers. That Donald Trump reiterated last week he's going to use our tariff money. We found $15 trillion, he said.
We found $31 billion, but there are... And it's on the tariff shelf.
It's on the shelf.
I cannot get over the tariff shelf part of that.
Yeah.
$31 billion found, just found, because, you know, when you find $5 in your pocket, trillions of dollars in tariffs being brought in. So we're flush with cash, everybody.
Apparently.
Do you need a farm loan? Do you need some money, farmers? We got you covered.
Except there's no one to answer the phone because the government shut down.
American
Soybean Association President Caleb Ragland says a bailout is not the golden ticket that Trump has made it out to be. He said American farmers still need markets to sell their products, but never fear. Smiling Kevin Hassett is here.
He's so creepy.
From the Trump administration. No matter what he's talking about, he's always got a smile on his face.
Yeah.
Here he is talking to MSNBC's Money Guy about the tariffs. Kelvin, can you play that clip, please?
Could you see tariff money being used to support the farmers who obviously are being hit hard by, I think, you know, China retaliated against some of the tariffs recently? Maybe they had slowed buying soybeans last year, but certainly they went to zero in May based on the tariffs.
Right.
Is that an option that it's going to happen?
Right. The president has already said that he thinks that the tariff money is going to be useful for helping us find the funds that we need to help farmers. We've had numerous meetings over the last week or two about exactly what we're going to do to help the farmers, but we're taking big measures, and those big measures are going to be public really, really soon.
Really soon.
And so for sure, China has, especially for soybean farmers, has stopped buying U.S. soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the silos are full, and there are soybeans sitting on the ground with tarps over them.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable to the president. We're calling up all our soybean customers around the world as part of our trade negotiations, and we're also getting ready to have really strong policies to support our farmers.
Really strong policies really soon, probably 2 weeks. Probably 2 weeks.
First of all, is the person who did that interview, are they okay?
The guy on MSNBC?
Yes, because it was just like, I felt like it was a kid asking an adult a question. It was like, it was weird, but also, no, sorry, I don't buy this. I don't buy that the president for one single solitary second cares that the soybean market has collapsed in this country. I don't think he cares that they are in, he thinks throw some money at them and that'll shut them up, because that's what happened last time.
Yes, it is. And whether or not it's going to work this time around, and again, let's not forget, it is because of the Trump tariff policies that our soybean market has collapsed.
Yes.
And so he is going to take the money that we're all paying in tariffs on higher goods, because we're all seeing it now when you go to the store.
Yeah.
Things are more expensive. So we're going to take the money that American taxpayers and American farmers are paying to pay back the farmers that we screwed by these tariff policies. Yet at the same time, we're giving $20 billion to Argentina, who dropped their tariffs to sell their soybeans to China.
And we all went through this before when we had, this is because don't forget, this is the second tariff war, second trade war we've had. And the U.S. farmers suffered under the first one as well, because other countries took their business elsewhere.
And didn't come back.
So I do not believe for a solitary second that the president actually cares that anything has happened. He's just like, if we give him some money, it'll shut him up, right?
Well, and where is the pre-planning about having a plan in place before you blew everything up? That might have been a good idea, too.
Pre-planning?
Well, again, it's consequences.
Pre-planning,
if I
Gene?
Do A, B might happen, and C might happen, and D might... Yeah, they don't do that.
Pre-planning? You're hilarious. You'd be fired immediately.
News is coming up next, and then Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman will be joining us. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Are you interested in serving on a city committee? La Crosse's city government is currently looking for volunteers to serve on 8 different committees and boards, including the Redevelopment Authority, Police and Fire Commission, Neighborhood Revitalization Commission, Floodplain Advisory Committee, Housing Authority, Building and Housing Appeals Board, Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, and Room Tax Commission. If you're interested, you can fill out an application on the City of La Crosse website. There's a new candidate for State Supreme Court, the second to announce for the officially nonpartisan position that drew a record amount of spending in last spring's election. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley's term is up in 2027. Liberal appellate judge and former state representative Chris Taylor announced she would be running against Bradley, but then, about a month ago, Bradley announced she would not seek re-election. She called on conservatives to, quote, take stock of failures, identify the problem, and fix it, end quote. Liberal judges have won four of the last 5 Wisconsin Supreme Court elections. Now, a conservative contender is entering the race to replace her. Maria Lazar has been on the 2nd District Court of Appeals since 2022. She released her first campaign video this morning.
I am an independent, impartial judge who strives to follow the law and Constitution in every decision I make from the bench. It is time to restore that level of judicial dedication to the court. That is precisely why I have decided to run for the open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
The court currently has a 4-3 liberal majority. If a conservative candidate wins, that balance would stay the same. If a liberal candidate wins, the court would have a 5-2 liberal majority. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is one house that will be less full. Fraudsters Lori Laughlin and husband Massimo Giannulli have decided to take a break from their marriage. The couple was embroiled in a college admissions scandal in 2019 after bribing college officials to get their daughters of limited intelligence into a college. The couple pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit fraud. Ex-Full House actor Laughlin spent 2 months and Giannulli 5 months in minimum security correctional facilities. Yep, they even finagled their way into better prisons. A Hollywood Reporter says the two have been married for 28 years and have decided not to file divorce papers at this point. The college admissions scandal was a nationwide conspiracy. Fellow actors Felicity Huffman and William Macy were also involved in the scandal because they cheated for their rich kids too. Okay, I get that it might be a bummer to be privileged and not all that bright, but the parents are actors. Couldn't they have taught their kids to at least pretend to be smart? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy and much cooler today with scattered showers from time to time, maybe a rumble of thunder as well, a high of only 63. A lingering shower possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy and crisp with a low of 43. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday, a high of 65. Right now, 53 degrees.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matner. You're a coffee drinker.
I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning for most of my career. Yeah. You need coffee.
Something.
Or a slap across the face or something. How much coffee do you drink a day? How many cups
not
of coffee?
Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 16-ounce cups, more or less. Maybe not quite that much some days.
Zahmer, is that true?
I mean, from what I can verify, I don't know what he drinks in the privacy of his own home.
No right. One knows.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Badgers game at Michigan and also the Brewers taking on the Cubs over the weekend. Where are we at in the NLDS? Jane Matner of Matner on Air will join us and talk a little news as well.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matner on Air. Jane Matner, Greg Bach. Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. About an hour from now is the part of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up, take a breath, get away from the news. Essentially, we
clean your ears with fun.
Yes, that's what we do in Audio Sorbet. And today's question for Audio Sorbet is, how do you alarm? Do you have an alarm clock? Do you have, is it on your Apple Watch? Maybe you don't need an alarm.
Or maybe it's a different brand name of watch. We're all not bought out by big Apple Watch like Jane is.
Well, I don't have an Apple Watch. But anyway, how do you alarm is our Audio Sorbet question. So start thinking about that. You can also text in your response right now if you're not going to be around at 855-752-4842. She joins us every Monday to update us on the constant fire hose of news that is happening. She is Civic Media's news director. Shelley Pittman is here. Good morning, lady. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks, Jane. You know, I, working in radio, sometimes set multiple alarms on different sources just to make sure that I get up at the right time.
Do you?
Do you ever do that?
I used to very early on when I was working early mornings. I had an alarm right next to my bed, and then I had one across the room.
That, you have to get up.
But yeah, and then I would get up and I would turn it off and I would go back to bed. That did not work. I did. It was a flawed plan.
The most powerful thing that will get you up is fear, I think. So
waking up and seeing, oh yeah,
I want that put on a plaque somewhere. The most powerful thing to get you up is fear, Shelley Pittman.
That's yeah. I'm going to put that on a pillow. I think that's something to live by. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Anyway, there is a lot to catch up on, and we wanted to start off with ICE in Wisconsin. 7 people in northeastern Madison were arrested by ICE on Thursday. No confirmed reports of ICE activity anywhere else in the city so far.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of ICE activity in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, so thought we'd spend our segment this morning talking about that. Here where I'm based in Madison, there were 7 folks detained, arrested by ICE last Thursday. This was first confirmed by Centro Hispano Dane County, and you're seeing advocacy groups being the kind of the first line of folks reporting when there are detentions, because ICE does not usually talk with local police officials, law enforcement officials. ICE confirmed with the City of Madison Police Department after the fact that they had conducted a raid. I don't believe they gave details like names. But, you know, they only are able to confirm after the fact. So I have heard that the individuals detained were, at least some were construction workers. But I learned that through something we'll talk about in a second at a press conference, but that's not confirmed or verified either.
And I'm assuming that we don't know anything about what these people are accused of, or charged with, or no details whatsoever?
Not to my knowledge. ICE will, or the Department of Homeland Security will put out press releases sometimes, and I don't see one related to this, I think, raid I'm not sure if people want us to call it a raid, but this enforcement action. So, yeah, we kind of don't have a lot of details right now.
When I saw the form come through, Shali, when you sent it to us, I feel like this didn't hit. I feel like news of ICE and cities doing these things are major news. Like, they're happening around the country. Mm-hmm. I feel like this almost, for me, and this is just me, and I don't, maybe not other people, of course, it almost flew under the radar as far as reporting goes, because we have so many bigger actions, as you say, taking place around the country, that this sort of just happened, and now we're hearing about it now, and we're getting the details, and it's in that part of the state as well. The fact that it's in Madison, that's also, to me, personally surprising.
It's hard to report these things out because it takes time to track folks down and connect with families. And so I think that's part of reason why you're not saying a lot, is because it's hard to get the information. But there is a larger, there was a larger operation of ICE in Wisconsin about a week and a half ago on September 25th. And I think that's where a lot of the attention has been focused. So this was a raid of mostly dairy workers in Manitowoc, where there is a high concentration of factory farms. And if I can give credit to the Wisconsin Examiner, I think they've done a really good job of outlining what this means for farmers, right? Dairy farmers, and you know, speaking with farmers who say, "Hey, you know, we can't get anyone else to do these jobs," and so it has implications for Wisconsin's dairy industry, as well as obviously the human cost for immigrant communities. So in the Manitowoc parking lot, where folks were getting ready to go to work for the day, so far what I've been able to triangulate from other news sources is that at least one man has been deported within 4 days of that action, and it could be higher, according to advocate organizations. It could be three, which we'll again talk about in a second. The Department of Homeland Security did put out a kind of press release for this, and they mentioned that they mentioned one man who was a part of the raid, except that man has been in ICE custody since July, according to court records.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there. One of the men they claimed they grabbed during this most recent raid in September has already been in custody, and he's been in custody since July.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
So their record keeping, obviously, is really good.
You know, I don't know what's going on. Has not been convicted, but he's been detained. One other thing I wanted to note about this, there's been a lot of good reporting about these raids. But the detention hearings that result quickly after, sometimes after these raids, are not likely to be paused under the federal shutdown that we're in right now, even though in previous shutdowns they have been. So kind of forecasting that it's not likely that these will stop, even though the rest of the federal government is shut down.
That's interesting. Do they have to do a special carve out for that? How does that work?
No, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Also a great question, Jane.
Well, and this is just as well, first of all, if you're just joining us, we are speaking with Shali Pittman, who is the news director of Civic Media. She joins us every Monday at this time to go over all the news that we may have missed over the weekend. And she is right now, we're talking about remind me again, Shali, what is the official term? Not a raid, but a
enforcement action.
Thank you. I honestly, when we're talking to you, I want to keep the language professional in that sense and resist the urge to get angry. But I personally, and this is just my assumption, that of course ICE raids would not stop with their budget increases, with their desire to do these things, especially with the shutdown happening. They are going to keep doing them because why not? That's just me making a speculation, but yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they haven't stopped during a shutdown.
Well, no, but what she's talking about is that the hearings to deport people, those will continue as well, even though, again, the vast majority of the federal government has been shut down, except for this little part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wisconsin Watch has some reporting that, and that's where I'm getting this piece of information from, that the DOJ has not called off these hearings. They also haven't really clarified whether immigration court will continue during, if it's a longer shutdown. But they're sourcing this based off of a press release, I think from last Wednesday, from DHS, where the Assistant Secretary, Tricia McLaughlin, said that deportations will continue. She says, thanks to the Trump administration's One Big Beautiful Bill. I'm not sure if that's, again, this is really vague language, so it's hard to understand exactly how they're able to continue.
Yeah. Well, they're finding a way. Yeah. Yes.
Precisely. So the I wanted to bring up these two actions, right? To, again, you know, we gotta talk about them. Mm-hmm. And also, last Friday, there was a press conference in Milwaukee, kind of in reaction to multiple events happening in Wisconsin in, you know, the last week or two then. So there was a coalition of Hispanic leaders who had a press conference to condemn ICE activity in Wisconsin. It was led by Forward Latino. Daryl Morin is the national president, but it also had folks from all sorts of advocacy organizations, including, you know, Voces de la Frontera, MICA, Milwaukee Turners, and so on. It also had local and state elected officials. And I wanted to bring you some clips of that because our very own community manager, Jenny Brand, did me a solid and did us all a solid and went to this press conference to get audio. And so we had some of that on our very own Stuart J. Waddle's report this morning. But I wanted to kind of bring you an extended report. So because I think it's important to hear the voices of folks who are from the community, not just me. So we'll kick this off on the other side, but we could do the first one. So Jose Perez is the Milwaukee Common Council president, and he kicked off the press conference while commenting that we're in the middle of Hispanic Heritage Month. And, you know, he urged celebration and also urged immigrant communities to prepare. So let's hear that.
So at a time when we've been celebrating and lifting up our cultures of various Hispanic descent, it should come as no surprise that we find ourselves under increased attack at the federal level. ICE agents in so-called blue states all around the country are being deployed and sowing seeds of fear and desperation throughout immigrant populations. So given that we are literally under attack, I'm asking people remain diligent. Look out for your neighbor. Help your neighbor and know your own rights. If you can meet with or consult with an immigration attorney, do so. Have contingency plans, name guardians for your children, and try to be ready for the worst, as we always hope and pray for the best.
I think an emphasis on preparation, knowing your rights, and thinking ahead was kind of a key theme of the press conference.
Well, and it's just, it's interesting because I have seen footage on social media of people confronting ICE asking for warrants, and it does not always go well. And as far as consulting an immigration attorney, I certainly think that's a good idea. But mm-hmm. again, you have to have a certain amount of resources in order to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
again, precisely. I think Common Council President Perez also urged folks to, if you need to dial 911 in the city of Milwaukee, to still do that, to not hold back from dialing 911 in cases of medical emergency, just because that's something that they've also seen.
Shelley Pittman is Civic Media's news director. We're going to continue our conversation on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Our one, our only Cal Zone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Shelley Pittman is Civic Media's news director. She joins us every Monday at this time. Give us a little update on things we might have missed. I know there's always things that I miss. Shelley, we're going to talk for this segment about ICE in Milwaukee and the facility they currently have and one they would like to move to, correct?
Yeah, I would like to play a couple more clips from that press conference last Friday,
sure.
Led by Forward Latino, very quickly. So Christine Newman Ortiz, who's well known in and outside of immigration circles, is the head of Voces de la Frontera. And she also gave an update on the workers in Manitowoc. So I want to make sure we get to that.
Yep.
Christine Newman Ortiz from Voces de la Frontera.
That three of the six workers in Manitowoc have already been deported, and another one has been moved to the detention center outside of Wisconsin. And the important thing is it emphasizes the importance of the Know Your Rights component because even if you have, as in the case of, you know, one of the fathers, an order of deportation, which means, you know, things are going to, you know, they're going to move faster for you. If you have been here for years, as these workers have been, the ones that we've connected with, that connected with us, you know, they come from mixed immigration status families, so they have some kind of a spouse that's a U.S. citizen, children that are U.S. citizens, good moral character, essential workers. And if you've been here for many years, as they have been, you can fight your deportation. But people need to know that and not be tricked or conned into signing voluntary departures, as we are witnessing as a kind of standard ICE protocol.
One thing that Voces de la Frontera has also done way back at the start of the year is establish a hotline to confirm or deny rumors of immigration enforcement activity in neighborhoods. And that hotline is 1-800-427-0123. I've used it in a news gathering capacity in order to confirm, again, because local officials are sometimes not as helpful as you might think, not because of them, but just because ICE is not communicating with them. So that's another resource. The last clip I want to play is Daryl Marin, president of Forward Latino. He talked about his kind of personal interactions in assisting those facing deportation orders. Let's go ahead and hear that.
Number one, I was literally on the phone when an immigrant who was detained, who had no criminal history, was on the phone with his significant other and was with the ICE official in detention. And that ICE representative was literally screaming at the detained immigrant, saying he needed to sign that self-deportation order. And we were very loudly instructing him not to do it, because it's his right not to, and that they had to allow him to talk to his immigration attorney. That's happening on a daily basis. The violation of constitutional rights are happening right now on a daily basis. That's just one of many examples we have.
Okay, so I'm not able to externally verify that, but the president of Forward Latino sharing his personal experience, that's Daryl Marin. So you wanted to talk about the ICE building in Milwaukee, or I wanted to talk about the ICE building in Milwaukee, because that's another thing that is kind of in the air, but also kind of unclear. So there are ICE offices in downtown Milwaukee. They've been there for almost 25 years. It's possible, and that's where deportation meetings happen, where detainees are processed and transported to other facilities, Dodge County facility frequently, but it doesn't actually hold people. And they're hoping to move this to an office park in the way northwest corner of Milwaukee. And I was in Milwaukee over the weekend, and I just tooled around to go and look at this. I have some photos in our shared doc, which our listeners can't see, but it is in an office park. And, you know, it's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports that this is where detainees would be processed and transported. There are plans to have like an 8-foot tall fence and a sally port, which is what you see in jails. And I just went there and can confirm that construction is underway. It looks like they kind of just dug up the parking lot to start, but it is kind of a surreal place, very much an office park, completely quiet on the weekend. You know, there's a daycare across the street. It's right off of I-41. So, it's happening.
I just want to reiterate that we were told, the Trump administration told America, that they were going after the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Rapists and criminals and murderers and the worst of the worst were the ones that they were going to target, not these very generalized sweeping up of a whole bunch of people and then denying them due process and potentially encouraging them to sign self-deportation orders that may not necessarily be applicable to them. This is all happening. There was a raid in Chicago that we're not going to talk about, Shelley, because we just don't have time. There was a raid in Chicago on a building where they used a Black Hawk helicopter and zip-tied children and put them in a van for several hours. We don't have time to get into it, but it's important that we all realize what is going on
Yes.
in our country.
Yep. This is happening in Wisconsin.
Yes, so, it is. It's happening here, too. Shelley Pittman is Civic Media's news director. Subscribe to Civic Media today.
Absolutely.
Our news department does an incredible job curating news from all around the state and highlighting things on different shows. It's fabulous. How can I subscribe to Civic Media today, Shelley Pittman?
Oh, wow. You know what? I haven't had to subscribe.
Civic Media.
CivicMediaToday.substack.com to get to subscribe to our free newsletter.
What Craig said, do that.
Thank you.
Or Google it.
You can do that too. Shelley Pittman, thank you so very much. We will see you next Monday.
Sounds good. See you then.
News coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
The Supreme Court denying an appeal from Ghislaine Maxwell that would have drawn renewed attention to the case after President Trump has tried to tamp down on criticism over his administration's refusal to publicly release more files from Jeffrey Epstein's case. As for the rest of the docket this Supreme Court session, they're taking up, among other things, the banning of trans athletes in sports, voting rights, and the firing of federal workers.
Legal experts say the justices to watch in many of these big cases are Justice Amy Coney Barrett and Chief Justice John Roberts. They're two conservatives, but two that are more inclined to find a moderate middle ground. And decisions in all of those cases are expected sometime before the end of June 2026.
That's ABC's Devin Dwyer, who covers the Supreme Court. State of Illinois and City of Chicago have filed lawsuit this morning seeking to block President Trump's federalization and deployment of the National Guard. The state writing, the American people should not live under threat of occupation by the U.S. military. This is ABC News.